Good morning. Just a brief word of prayer. Father, Lord, we just offer you this morning. We're hungry for your word. May your word come and reveal your truth that would come and also touch us and transform us and draw us closer to you. We thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to do Daniel chapter 1 today. So if you would turn with me there, it's kind of a long chapter, but all right, Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the office officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink, for why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine that they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Amen. Long chapter, but good chapter. So at the beginning, there's an occupation, right? And so why did Babylon come and attack Judah? So at that time, Judah was actually run by the Egyptians. And so the Egyptians actually put King Jehoiakim as kind of the king over Judah, but really it was run by Egypt, right? And so what happened was at that time, Egypt and Babylon were at war, and Egypt had actually attacked Babylon. So after Babylon was able to successfully resist the attack. They responded and counterattacked. So along the way of their counterattack, they actually passed through Judah. And so in response to Egypt's attack, they overthrew the Egyptian government and occupied. And so that's why they were there. And so upon the attack or the occupation of Judah, it says, verse 3, this is what the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials. Also, in other translations, he would be referred to as a eunuch. And basically, he was told to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including the royal family, youths, verse 4, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking. So basically, he was ordered to take the best of the people in Judah. It says, even the best-looking, the smartest, the healthiest, the people who would have wisdom to understand things and discern. And they were the best of the best, right? And they were, three things were supposed to happen. One, three things did happen, was they were given a new name, right? Second, they were taught, I guess, a new education. And third, they were to be given, I guess, new food. And the whole point was to indoctrinate the Jews. This new, brightest generation, they were basically to become like Babylons. And that's how you kind of successfully take over, because then, you're looking, the brightest minds are actually who are serving Babylon are still your own people. And that's the strategy and technique, right? And just a side note, that's exactly what Satan is trying to do with us as well, right? He's trying to indoctrinate us with the things of the world. Because when you see the strategy that Babylon used, first, given a new name, right? Thus, new identity. New education, new culture, so that your ways would be like their ways. And third, was food also part of the culture, right? That you would hunger for those things. And that's what Satan's doing with us today. Wants to give us a new identity, not as children of God, but identity where we would look to other things to satisfy us, whether it be social media, our work, our status, socially, economically. That's where Satan wants us to find our identity. Education, oh man, we're so, especially with social media, Netflix, movies, media, even for myself growing up, I think of, especially as, as an Asian, but I guess it's all cultures, where do you learn about relationship? Where do you learn about the idea of love? Where do you learn about dating? Where do you learn about sex? Did we learn it from our parents? Probably not. Did we learn it from the church? Probably not, right? We learned it from television, from our friends. Probably the worst place to learn it, but that's where we got it from the world, really. And then, of course, food culture. So that's what Babylon was trying to do, indoctrinate. And Daniel has such a strong resolve, right? And I think on first hand, we see he stood up to what he believed in. And notice what he did. He did not want to, it says, verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself to not be holy, to be impure with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. And I think initially, he stood up to them. But it's actually even more than that. If you look at the context, right? The context is Judah had just been conquered, right? Their life is flipped upside down. They've been taken away from their families, their loved ones. Now they're with, it's like, if anything, they have every reason to give up hope, right? let aside even the fact that he stood up to the what the king wanted, the fact that he's even still faithful and still positive and still has this resolve is already amazing, right? And so he decides to stand up and not defile himself with the king's choice food or wine. So why that, right? How about the other things? Well, he got a new name, right? Daniel and the three friends, they all got a new name. But to him, I think, the reason he didn't respond to that is, yeah, you gave me a new name, but that doesn't change who I am, right? You can call me whatever you want. You can call me, I mean, I'm paraphrasing now with us, like, you can call me names, you can try to define me, but, you know, God's the one who defines me. So he's fine with that. With the new education, right? He's given new education. Yeah, I can learn things, new things. You can try to teach me your ways, but what I believe in doesn't change, right? So those two things he's good with. But the third thing, with the food, that will directly go against what Daniel believes in, right? And what does it go against? Well, there's three things. First, it's the food is not kosher. And when we say kosher, the Jews have a special way in which they prepare the food, the way that an animal, after it is killed, the way you would like properly drain the blood. And there's this whole process that's supposed to make it clean, or as clean as possible. So, number one, this food would definitely not be prepared in the way that the Jews would want it to be prepared, number one. Number two, another reason why it was unclean was the food was actually dedicated to, I guess, the idols, right? Their gods, the Babylon gods. So it's very unsacred, very defiled food, right? You're eating food. It'd be like eating the food, hopefully you guys don't do this, but you know, like around Hong Kong, there's a lot of little, what are those called? Not temples, little, they're like at restaurants and stuff, right? And there's, what's it called? Oh, Dai Pai Dong. I don't think that was what I was going for. But you know, in the Dai Pai Dong's little shrines, thank you. But usually in those Dai Pai Dong's, little shrines in corner, and there's like a few sticks of incense, and there's usually fruit, right? It would be like eating that fruit, right? Hopefully you don't do that. But it would be like eating fruit. And the third reason, you know, why Daniel just didn't want to have that food was it's what, I mean, all those things represent, right? If he is to really take that food, it would also represent like an acceptance and embracing of being indoctrinized. So he just boldly and with the resolve, you know, in the circumstance where it seemed like there was no hope, decides to stand up. He's bold, right? You look at Daniel, he's like, if I were to define things, he's like a manly man. I think of him, he's like on Sunday, he's like Bill Wilson, right? He's like, no way. But what's really interesting, despite the resolve that he has to stand up for what he believes in, he does it in such a way that's very polite, right? He didn't like just demand it or just go on this strike. Actually, what he does is he asks quite politely, and I think this is part of the wisdom he operates in, but he did it in such a way that he was very respectful and polite to the commander official who was in charge. And he says to him, and also says, of course, God granted him favor. And he says to him, basically says he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. He didn't demand it. He sought permission. And of course, the official, like, this is God's favor, because he could just said no, because he's risking a lot, right? If he rejected him, he's risking a lot, because if he rejected him, he'd be totally fine. But if anything went wrong, and as I said, if he, you know, makes this decision and things, if he basically doesn't look healthy, he would be beheaded. Everything to lose, nothing to gain for this official. Yet, Daniel says to him, please test your servant. This is the wisdom. He's like, hey, this is how it should be. It's a conversation, you know. They're open. And basically he says, please test your servant for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he's saying, hey, let's just do this for 10 days, low risk, right? And at the end of it, let's do a comparison. If things aren't good, like he's like, fine. But of course, Daniel has a lot of faith, right? And so this is where we get the Daniel fast from, generally. And so it's basically, in his case, what is the Daniel fast? We always think it's just vegetables, but they say it's actually more than that. It's probably anything that is not the like meat, the choice foods, and the wine. So he would probably be having vegetables, of course. He'd probably also have grains. So for those of you thinking of Daniel fast, quinoa, rice, technically, and water. And so it says, the commanding official, he listened to them in this matter and tested it for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's food. So thus the overseer continued. And so we've all, not all, but we've been doing fasting year in, year out. So we know to a certain extent, and now especially in this, especially right now, what's really hot and popular right now is intermittent fasting, right? And even my friends back home, not Christians, I was like, oh man, you guys lost a ton of weight. Have you been working out? And they're like, no, we've been doing intermittent fasting. I was like, you guys are fasting too? basically for them, what their intermittent fasting was, after they have dinner, everything, they have dinner till, and then they don't eat anything from 8 p.m. And then the following day, they don't eat anything until lunchtime. And these are guys, actually. And they're usually pretty big, but they look great, right? And I think a lot of us know, like when we fast, for most of us, we actually look better. Like our skin clears up, all these things. And so we know part of it is it's good for us, fasting. But the other part that is definitely supernatural, and I don't think usually when we fast this happens, is we don't gain weight, right? Usually when you fast, you lose weight. And most of us have some weight that we can lose. So we're like, oh, we look better, right? But in this case, a supernatural thing happens, which is they just have like the Daniel fast, vegetables, grains, and water, and they actually gain weight. So this is already a supernatural thing that is occurring. And then, also what happens is, so right now they're in this process of being trained and indoctrinated for 3 years. And it says, God responds to their faithfulness with supernatural learning. So they're like geniuses too. It's like they took that, there's that movie where they take a pill and then they become geniuses. Limitless. Is it Limitless? Yes, Limitless. So it's like they took that pill. Right now they're like, everything they learn, it just gets absorbed. They're so smart. And then at the end of it, at the end of the 3 years, this is what happens. Then at the end of the days, which the king has specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them, all not one was found, like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for a matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. 10 times. That's crazy. Think about it. They're basically the lowest of lows. Daniel and the three friends, they've just been conquered. They come into the Babylon kingdom, palace, wherever they're getting trained. They're like the lowest of lows. And in 3 years, because of their faithfulness, in 3 years, they come out of that, and they are 10 times better than, so these magicians and conjurers. So these are like, almost like the right, the it'd be like they're the king's top consultants, right? And Daniel and his friends are 10 times better. It's literally going, that's like a crazy promotion, right? From it'd be like you're working. Imagine you're working, you work 3 years, and then you're like the right and left hand, right hand person of the CEO of a company, right? Crazy. And so the takeaway is, I think for Daniel, what was really special about Daniel, he was so kingdom-minded. And so when we look at ourselves and in our workplace, what's going on? Whether it be you're in your work, whether it be in your school, are you kingdom-minded, right? Because I hear a lot from people, and this is true, right? And I think they're ashamed to be a Christian at the workplace, right? It's like something very personal. Like, God, you're the king of my personal life within my cubicle. You're the king. But when it comes to actually in the workplace, they're actually not that kingdom-minded, right? They're not really after building up God's kingdom. Actually, what you're really after is you want God to bless you so that your kingdom would be built. So you have promotion. And so it's no wonder at times where our work can feel very stagnant, right? And then when it's stagnant, we get bored. And when we get bored, then we want to quit and look for something else. And so, I mean, I just submit to you, if you've been working and with your colleagues and you see them day in, day out for, I'm even going to say a pretty long, like a year, and I think it's great that you would let your actions, hopefully your actions speak for it. But at some point, if you love God and he's that important to you, you should be sharing it at some point, right? And I'm not saying this is like, oh, you have to do this as a Christian. Anything that you love and anything that's important to you, you should share, right? Even for me, at some point, other things I love, my wife, my children, right? If I'm talking to you, probably the first conversation I have with a complete stranger, if it goes beyond just a hello, you know, how long have you been going to SP? If it goes beyond that, at some point, very naturally, I'm going to share about my wife and my two children. Very naturally. And it's not because I'm worried, oh, I better share that I'm married because or else people, I don't want to give them the wrong idea that I'm actually not single because I don't like wearing my wedding ring. So I feel like this. No, that's not why I'm sharing it. I'm sharing it because they're important in my life and I love them. And so if God is the Lord of your life and you love him, at some point you should be talking about him, right? And I want to say, when we are kingdom-minded, right, and we see this in Daniel, especially in our workplace, when you're kingdom-minded and you put God at the forefront and you honor him and you want to build up his kingdom, God is going to move in your workplace and do amazing things, right? I'm sure Daniel was not thinking, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to eat this choice food because if I do, then I'm going to do really well in my work, right? He just wanted to honor God. And as a result, he was promoted, his and his three friends, supernatural physical health, supernatural knowledge, intelligence, wisdom. Don't we want that? And supernatural promotion, right? And so I know it's hard, right, to be very, especially this day and age, you know, sometimes the perception of Christians is very closed-minded, right? And it's almost embarrassing. But I want to say to you, you know, if you are a Christian, be proud that you're a Christian. If you love Jesus, be proud that you love Jesus. Don't presume, what will people think of me? But hey, that's just what you love. That's who you are. So feel free to just share. So I want to invite Andrew. And I just want to give us all a time to just really think about our work, you know, the places that we go, spend the majority of our time. What are we after, right? Are we just after a comfortable life, have fun, you know, get promoted? But where is God in the picture? Where is God in the picture? And Jesus says, Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We see that with Daniel. Daniel was seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. And look what came. Look at the fruit that came. Look at the faithfulness that God brought into their life. And so let's just refocus, fix our eyes. Maybe our eyes were on different places, where maybe our eyes were wanting and desiring different things. But let's fix our eyes back onto Jesus, because we know he's the author of perfection. We know that he loves us, provides our every need, that he is able to do far more exceedingly than what we could possibly do. And let's just also have, like Daniel, have a strong resolve in our love for Jesus, in being proud, in being bold as well.
Great cost, giving up your life to death. and death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin. Open up the gates of heaven and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a King? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name? All the things you have done, oh, my words could not tell.
Turn to our slides and let's cover our community. Let's cover those on the list. If you're in the back and you can't see, just if there's someone you know under these topics, you can also cover them. Let's just first cover those who loved ones who are going through cancer. Also those who are going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgery, let's pray for God to bring comfort, community and healing for them. Also cover the list with those who are sick, but also in need of word of salvation. Pray for God to come, to touch, to soften hearts, to be ready to receive His word as well as to be healed. Also covered the list, infirmities that people would continue to push through in their prayers and continue to seek after complete healing. So I'll cover those who are seeking after jobs. Pray for they would continue to look to God. Know that He is faithful in His provision. Pray for a favor for God to open doors. Go to our Wednesday prayers. First, our mission focus. Let's cover China, SP Beijing with Piansu, SP Shanghai with Ricky, the Chong family, also Nate's parents, as well as the churches and underground churches in China. Let's cover the board. PCM, Sandril. Just cover the board. Pray for them that they would continue to have a real heart to serve the church, to be prayerful and be led by the Holy Spirit and have a heart and intention to continue to build up God's kingdom through Solomon's Porch. Let's also cover our fellowship ministries. You can pray for the young adults. We have this Saturday, Yaman, our men's accountability sharing prayer this Saturday. And on Sunday, we also have the Yahweh bowling. I know we have, it's actually full, praise God. And we have quite a few visitors and non-Christians who are joining. So pray that would be a time where they really feel the love and people would really connect. Also cover the men's ministry, women's ministry, as we also have upcoming retreats in October. Also cover SP 2.0, the building resources, our benefactor, and the vision fund. Yes, Jesus, we thank you for today and your word, and we thank you for Daniel's life and a reminder of what it means to really put you first, but also not just to put you first, but how you're so faithful, Lord. And you said, seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be given to you, Lord. And so, Lord, this today, we just want to really put you first in our lives, you know, because, of course, what your word says, how good you are as described in your word, but also in our personal life, just experiencing you, how you're so faithful always, Lord. So Lord, we just want to continue to respond as you've been so faithful to us, that we would also be faithful to you, Lord, and that we would be so proud and bold, that we know you, Lord, that you're the one leading our lives, that we can have you to depend and lean on, God, that we do not need to rely on our own strength, God, but we can really rely and draw our strength from you, God. So would you lead us today, Holy Spirit, lead us in every such way, lead us in our emotions, our will, our thoughts, really lead us today, Holy Spirit. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everyone. Have a great day and God bless.